Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. My head in the clouds and 2 feet on the ground. Here's a secret, you can pass it around. All right. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm Mike. We got Max. We got Shane. Fellas, how's it going? We're together once again.
Finally. It feels like it's been a while.
I know. It's been
so much
weeks.
Has happened since we were last together.
I know.
Succession ended.
All right.
Yeah. Nick Nurse got a new job.
Oh, yes.
Kyle Dubas got a new job. Shane and I played in a basketball league together.
Wow.
And
look
now
at that.
I'm in a world of pain.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because you miss Dubas and Nick Nurse?
Yeah, Dubas went to Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh,
he
yeah.
ended up going there.
This is a good, first of all, this is a great tease off the top.
Uh-huh.
So as we know, Nick Nurse, Kyle Dubas, they're friends of the pod. They've both been on this podcast. Mm-hmm. They're legit close friends mm-hmm. of yours, Max.
Yeah.
Like talk every day, text sort of deal?
I talk with Nick probably more than Kyle.
Yeah.
Nick's a good texter. Kyle's a little more selective.
So this is a good pod though to get like a friend angle on these sort of very public figures. Max is also a public figure, and then Shane will also get to the basketball league. How are you feeling? You all right?
No, I'm in terrible shape right now.
I've been thinking a lot about our last conversation about how if we all had recess and we were sprinting around for 15 minutes in the afternoon and in the morning, then we'd be in great shape.
No, but I'm in like serious trouble right now.
Oh no, what happened?
Well, you know how we were all making fun of Mike for getting judo chopped within 10 seconds of playing basketball last time?
Yeah, that game I played. I'm still hurting from that, by the way. Yeah, you were pretty, you really laid it on thick there.
Well, it felt like you were being performative or acting it out.
I'm old.
Turns out that's one of the worst places you can get hit, and you got a fractured or bruised rib, right?
Yeah, right. My ribs. I had to go get x-rays. It was crazy.
And it hurts for you to breathe, right?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Happened to me.
Oh, I feel so bad. I'm just laughing. I feel so bad for you because I know the pain.
I can't breathe right now without being in pain. I can't go to sleep without being in pain.
Oh.
I can't play basketball tonight.
No.
So, yeah, I tried. I went to rally court to practice.
Oh, you did. Thank you.
So I was, since we played last Tuesday, every day I've been playing for between 2 and 5 hours. And Populous, he had a bad game last time,
don't
too.
You have children? Don't you have a job? Like, how do you have time for this?
You make time
no
for things
has
you
any
love.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. No one I'll has make time for about. The kids later, too. I love them, too, by the way. But Populous and I were like, okay, let's just shoot three-pointers for 3 hours. Let's get our shot back. Let's figure
you
out.
You guys are insane.
So I'm just running drills. I'm like, I want to be able to shoot a three-pointer 50%.
50? Wow.
50. So I get it to the point where out of 10, I could hit 5 to 6 every time. And we wouldn't stop doing these drills until we could both get to that point. Pops actually got to about 7 out of 10.
Wow.
So he was shooting like blown away. Then I started out at like 2 out of 10. And then I got it to where I could do it like 8 times in a row, 6 out of 10.
Wow.
So I'm feeling good. Go to rally court, start playing, show up, play Pops one-on-one, beat him.
Oh,
feeling
nice.
Really good. Play this other kid, murder this other kid who is pretty
How
good.
How old is the kid?
Probably 18.
Nice.
Okay. Good, which is good. You know, when I'm 40, 18, 18 has the advantage over 40.
Did you use your man strength and back him down? Or were you
I don't have much man strength.
Right.
No.
Right.
And I don't play that type of physical game.
You're not
game.
A back to the basket guy.
I was just using my 3-point skills, yeah. 3-pointed them all the way. I was hitting inside of half court, like shots that you wouldn't think should go in. I'm hitting.
How's the court looking, by the way?
Looks good.
Awesome. He's getting use.
I was going at a time that I probably shouldn't say the time I went.
Was it in the middle of the day?
Well, maybe. I don't know. But it was my lunch break, man.
Yeah, of course.
So there's a, you know, a person's in a tent. A guy comes out of a tent and he says, can I play? I'm like, okay.
Oh, like an encampment.
Yeah.
Guy like was someone in, like, who a lives tent. In the area. It, yeah. Gotcha.
You know, his eyes were a little red, whatever. He was a good baller. So we play him 2-on-2. He's not on my team. And so the kid I was beating 1-on-1, he was on my 2-on-2 team. But the kid does not fucking hustle at all. So I have to get the boards. I don't want to lose the pops and this other guy who came out of the tent. Tent guy is hustling so hard, grabbing every board, hitting shots, making right plays. I'm like, fuck. So now I'm going for the boards that tent guy's getting. I go to get this crazy rebound I had no right to get.
Oh.
Tent guy comes under, nails me in my ribs.
Oh, that's exactly what happened with me and Hammy.
All the air comes out of my lungs. Can't breathe. I'm down. I'm like, okay, I can't be the Mike Veerman and just quit. So I'm
like, you kept playing after this?
I kept playing.
Oh, shame.
You're crazy. Ooh,
little did I know, I actually bruised or fractured my rib. I don't know.
Wow.
And then I cannot move. I cannot lift my arm and feel normal. So I'm desperately thinking of how can I get back in the league? So I don't know what to do. Like, my ice bath place is closed this week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, other ships closed.
Yeah, just for the week. They're probably on like some spiritual retreat or something. But that sucks because that was my plan. Do an ice bath and then I'll feel good. I think I have to wait a week or two, though.
You do. You just have to wait it out.
And how are you feeling, Mike?
I'm better, but it lingers. It still lingers. Like, there'll be a time where I'll pick up like Roberta like with my left arm and like you can feel it. It's pretty crazy.
How long did it take?
I'm normal now. Like, I can laugh. I can cough. I can, like, I'm not like, yeah, like breathing's fine. And that probably took me like a couple weeks, maybe, because the Mother's Day, I screwed myself. I wasn't resting. That was the thing. The Mother's Day, I took the kids all day and I was lifting them both a ton. So then that was when it really started to like throb. And then, yeah, I got the X-ray and they thought there was like a crack, whatever. But it was like, they basically just said, there's nothing you can do. All you have to do is just manage the pain with like Advil, which whatever, once you get used to it, you're fine. Here's the problem. Say you hoop in a week from now, you might be feeling right, and you get hit again. Then you're like fucked.
Yeah,
that's where it's like it's a tricky one. But I know exactly what you felt once the wind went out.
But I apologize, Mike, for making fun of you like that, because it is the worst perfect place to get hit in to play basketball.
Apology accepted. And also, I'm impressed you played. But yeah, you must have messed yourself up more. Just
I didn't know, and I had adrenaline coursing through my veins because I really wanted to win.
Yeah. So did John and Tent Man win the game?
They did. The kid sucked at defense. He was a good offensive player, but that doesn't matter when you got a guy like John and this guy who is all hustle.
I got to say, the league is really fun.
Set up the league.
So the league is basically like an entertainment dudes league where our partner, producing partner, Andrew Ferguson, has set this thing up. And it's so funny when you meet somebody in their day-to-day life and you get an impression of them, and then you realize there's this other part of them, because Ferg is sort of a stressed out, very nice, but he's the guy who wears the stress in the relationship, because we're the creatives and he has to kind of like manage all of us and the budget and all this other shit.
There's two sides to the Ferg. There's the nice business guy, but anytime you have to spend more money, he turns into what we call Papa Ferg, which is like fucking $2,000. Shane, what the fuck are you doing? We can't do that. And that's Papa Ferg.
He's smoking cigarettes.
and he's
unshaven.
Yes.
You know, and he's also a new father too. So he just like has a lot on the go. But so that's the only kind of version of Ferg I knew. And then we started playing basketball with him. And dude is a ferocious point guard. He loves and takes basketball more seriously than probably just about anything
else. He's a competitor.
He's really competitive, but he's really good. He's like, you can tell that he played on his high school team and was the little point guard that ran the show and was probably really fucking annoying to play against. And he made everybody on his own team work really, really hard. So when he's-
But you love having him on your team.
You love having him on your team.
Yeah.
And when he said he was organizing this league because he wanted the runs to be a little bit more competitive, I'm like, wow, this is like so much work. Like, you're a father, you're working a job to put together like a league that you are running. It's not like it's part of a grander like association.
We got
to
start calling him the commish or something.
The commish. And, but then I also, if I'm being totally honest, thought he would suck. I'd be like, oh, this is just a little tryhard guy, but who just is just excited about like putting things together. But he was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I was so impressed with him. And the rest of the guys in the league are like writers or actors or comedians for the most part. Like, everybody who I met, like, there's a lot of good looking guys. There's a couple guys.
Is this league not good for your ego?
It made me.
They're not better looking than Max. They're just really good looking.
Isn't it, the league's called Hot Guys Who Hoop, right?
That's right. But it's fun because you're gonna play with the same team every week, and I have Shane and Mark Myers on our team.
Yes,
which is very, very fun. And the games you play for an hour, but the games go up to four. So it's only there's only ones allowed, and then it goes up to four, and then you start again. So basically, if one team is kicking another team's ass, it won't like get out of hand. It won't be like, okay, now the score is 65-32, because that could happen. Every game, each team has a pretty good shot at winning, because all it takes is someone to get hot for a few baskets and you're off to the races. So it was really fun. I don't know. I had a great time.
We won. That felt good.
Yeah, we did win.
You sent a video to the group, which was funny, which was Shane was on the bench after, and he's like, whew, I'm seeing stars or something.
I don't know how to do anything in moderation. So before we played our first game, I went to Mark Myers' court and played for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, well, you're so stupid.
I just wanted to get a feel for the game again, because I have probably played maybe 4 hours worth of basketball in the last 3 years. So I'm like, if I play 5 hours worth before the game, that will be more than I played in the last years, and then I'll be a better player.
It does help with shooting, I find, because it's like, if you just show up to a court to play a game and you haven't played in a long time, it takes half an hour, 40 minutes to even remember how to shoot. So it's nice to get those shots up.
You're not wrong, and getting shots up is important. But you're also, your contribution falls off pretty quick once you get tired. Once you're old and you have no cardio, it's just like, I'd rather have less touch and have a little more spring in my step than have no touch, or than have better touch and to be tired.
100%.
You know what I mean? Because you know, it's me, I kind of held my own pretty well, and I had a good, I was shooting the ball pretty well, and I was like generally confident. That's because I didn't do 3 hours of basketball beforehand.
I have a lot. The difference between whatever your mysterious age is and mine, though, is that perfect difference. Being 40, honestly, sucks. Something happens when you click into 40 where you just suck at everything. Oh, wow. Like physically.
Mark doesn't. Mark's good still.
He also has this like crazy metabolism where he always is at like 169 pounds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He plays good. 5-6 times a week.
Yeah,
he just to do that. You can't take years off and be 40 and have any cardio. So it stinks being me. I hate being trapped in this body.
I'm not going to lie. I was, when this league started up and Ferg was very sort of keen about getting everybody in, and I was like, can I do this? Can I? It's Tuesday nights. And the commitment, because sometimes games would start at 9, he was saying, like, you might not be playing till 9 at night or whatever. So I was like thinking about it, and the thing came there. I knew everyone was playing. And so I was like, I thought about it. I just looked at my time management. I was like, I can't do the league. And I felt so bad because obviously I don't live in the city. And so I was very jealous that all of the gang was doing this. And I was like, oh, I hate missing out. I have so much FOMO, especially I love playing basketball. But it kind of helped that I'd recently had the rib injury, which was a reality check where I'm like, it's not like.
Then it helped more when you found out that Shane was injured.
I didn't know that until just now. Yeah. But when I saw the video of him out of breath and saying that he was seeing stars, that was when I was like, oh, you know what? I probably made the right choice here. Or at least I don't feel as left out, you know, in this moment. But is it a good time? I feel like it's a good time.
It is a pretty good time.
They're the nicest people. In the world.
But the competition is just right. It's like there's enough good players. A couple guys can dunk. There's a couple shit guys. It's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, you know, Matt King, who's Ferg's partner.
I love Matt King.
I'm guarding him. He's guarding me. And, you know, he's not a guy who would probably be on his high school team. He's that good level of basketball. He's fun to play about. And I'm playing terrible, though. Like, just terrible. Throwing up air balls, everything. After Matt comes up to me, he's like, dude, you are so good.
I know, he did that to me too.
I'm like, shut up, Matt, but I love you and thank you.
It was the best pump up at the end. He didn't say anything. He goes, bro, sniper. Oh, man. He gives me props.
I got this guy guarding me. I was like, I can't do anything. It's like Matt scored more points than me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Matt is the fucking best. I love that guy so much. But so we're playing against it. So you're not going to come.
I want to almost just come and watch. I love being around the atmosphere of it, but I'd have to play if I came. And
just come, see how long you last.
But you get home at 1 a.m.
No, so you play at 8:30, so it's not as late.
I know, but Populous plays the game after, and he kept driving me home.
He's your ride.
Yeah.
He's your ride. Guys, I have, I was thinking about a couple things. I was thinking about comedy.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Because I was, the new season of I Think You Should Leave is out, and I called you yesterday just to talk about it. Have you seen the new season?
I haven't, no.
It's pretty good.
I've been very busy. We'll get to that in a bit. I've been traveling.
Yeah, I want to get to that. Yeah. But real quick, I on the way here, because I think we've talked about this before, I have a funny relationship with Twitter where, and Book Club Maddie says, just don't tweet anything. Literally, it's stupid unless you're trying to like sell something or promote a concert or something like that, or have a very like non-offensive take. Like, I like drinking coffee at coffee shops.
Matt is suggesting that you don't tweet sort of like just random thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Nothing political, nothing that might be taking aim at somebody.
Oh,
that could be political, though. Even the coffee thing.
How so?
I don't know. Maybe like you shouldn't be supporting big corporations.
Yeah. What if it's an independent coffee shop?
Still, yeah, probably, where are they getting their beans from? Yeah, are they ethically sourced?
Like, also, there's something very bougie about getting $4 coffees every day. You're like, oh, you know, this is what
like donate that money to a good cause.
Yeah. So I the other day I kind of got it in me a little bit. I was like, oh, I'm going to start tweeting about some stuff because there's this ridiculous thing that's happening with the Catholic school board in New York. Have you guys followed this story?
Oh, don't get me started. Oh, no, I'm
my
joking.
Goodness. It's all I'm reading about. No, I have no idea what you're talking
Tell
about.
Tell me about it.
Really?
What is it?
Oh.
Oh,
I don't follow Catholic school boards in New York.
I haven't had time to watch I Think You Should Leave season 3, and you think that I'm following the Catholic school board in New York City?
You guys have young children.
I just found out my daughter goes to Catholic school. I didn't even know. I thought we were public school.
You didn't know she went to a Catholic school?
Well, I kind of knew, but I always forget.
Your kids have different PA days than our kids. Yes. That's how you know. Because I'm always like, oh, PA day, you know, I'm dad duty. And he's like, oh, my kids.
Why do they go to a Catholic? I know Alex teaches at a Catholic school. Or she has.
Alex went there, and I don't care, but Lucy knows like prayers and stuff.
Shane is a man of deep religion. He has the Lord in his soul.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
what do you think of that?
The prayer stuff?
Did you go to Catholic or public? You're public.
Actually, one time Lucy and Winona were hanging out, and then they were singing a song or something. I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I kind of listened a little more, and it was like, Jesus is our Lord or something. Like, was some song from her school that she was teaching Winona or whatever.
And even my younger daughter, Betty's getting into religion because her favorite nighttime song is, it's this like, take me down to the river to pray. Da 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 da, the Lord one day, whatever that song is, I have to sing it to her every night.
You do?
Yes. So she requests it. And I'm like, how do you know this song? But Alex is singing it to her. So my family is very into religion.
Is Alex actually into religion?
She likes the idea of it. She definitely looks down on public school people.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. So there's an educational aspect here where she thinks the better education is happening in the Catholic school.
I think she thinks that. Yes. Mm.
They don't have sex education in Catholic schools, right?
I think there, if your parents are married or something, they do. No, I'm joking. No. I'm trying to think of the right joke. But sorry, go on with the story.
So the Catholic school board in New York City. Region basically is refusing, in the Catholic school board, is refusing to put up the pride flag, which every other school is seemingly doing. Every other Catholic school board in every other region in Ontario is putting for Pride Month. And that's happening in all the public schools too. And they're doing it because a bunch of parents are like, don't want to promote gay values.
Sure.
And so the board of trustees voted 6-4 this week to reject a motion calling on them to host a version of the iconic rainbow flag, specifically Progress Pride flag in Aurora, blah, blah, blah. So a bunch of people are just like, why are we funding? Why is public money going to the Catholic school board?
It should never.
Yeah. And so I just tweeted, I was like, this is like the headline is Catholic schools shouldn't get public funds. And then I was just like, yeah, I totally agree with this. My tweet was, the headline is probably correct and everyone involved should be embarrassed about how lame this entire episode is. Imagine as an educator spending your day defending this. There are actual problems to solve, guys. Stop wasting everyone's time and start helping kids. So lame. That's my tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else was like, what do you mean by lame? That we should stop public funds going to Catholic schools, or that people are debating it? Or did I miss your meeting completely? Uh-oh. So she's asking, I'm like, I don't mean that either. Like, fuck, why am I fucking even
wishing you followed Matt's advice?
I wish I followed. And then, so anyway, on the way here, I thought this was kind of funny. I don't think there's been any backlash from it yet, but I tweeted and I haven't seen if there's been any feedback. So basically, there's a mayor election happening here in Toronto, and Mark Saunders is the former chief of police, and he's very anti bike lane. He's pro super police. Like, he'd be more on the conservative spectrum of the mayoral candidates. And somebody next to Trinity Bellwoods Park has a huge Mark Saunders sign on their lawn, which, if you know the geography of Toronto, people around Trinity Bellwoods Park are like super pro encampment. And
they're progressive.
They're progressive and they would not like this candidate. And so I was like, oh man, like, so my tweet was, I genuinely respect anyone with the balls to put up a Mark Saunders election sign next to Trinity Bellwoods or an Olivia Chow sign at Yonge and Lawrence. What a rush. Because Olivia Chow would be the super left-leaning candidate and nobody at Yonge and Lawrence. I thought that was like a funny idea that, like, if you are the neighbor that is just going against all the rest of your fucking neighbors,
yeah,
that's sort of like an
exciting
move. Did
this tweet get people laughing?
I don't think
it made it look like you're a Mark Saunders supporter, maybe. But I guess the Olivia Chow thing.
I just don't know. I don't know what people would accuse me of. And Mark Saunders is black, so it's like if someone would accuse me of being racist, like I don't know. Like
if Matt Healy didn't exist, would you be doing all these tweets? I feel like he's inspired you.
Yeah, you're
a
trying
lot.
To move into his lane a bit.
Oh man, we got to talk about that because I think they just broke up.
I know.
Were they ever together? Your theory was it was an arrangement.
Well, before we get to that, there's been no comments. No responses and 10 likes. So this did not offend anybody or even humor anybody.
So, but did you engage with the responders to your thing about the Catholic school board not having funding? And it's
no, and a lot of people were supportive. People were like, I'm an educator with the Catholic school board. I'm embarrassed by this too. Fuck those people. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, so I think I'm going to go back to Matt's advice and just not tweet anything. It's sort of pointless.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to I Think You Should Leave for a Minute. I watched the season. I was talking to Shane about this. And that show is so good because you have to watch it a few times. And like, it's the kind of humor that it's funnier. It gets funnier and funnier every time you watch it. But it also made me think of The Dessert because there's a few bits that feel like they're aping The Dessert, even though he hasn't seen The
I
Dessert.
I know. I was like, people are going to think we saw I Think You Should Leave season 3 and somehow inexplicably did a turnaround on a sketch show and got it out a month later.
Yeah, because he has one of the bits where he like can't think of what to do.
It's
like,
so much like work improv.
Yeah, really? So much like work improv. Yeah, he's like, fuck, shit, I don't know what I saw.
Somebody sent a screen grab to The Dessert group of the dog. There was a dog. We have a runner with a dog in our show. Mm. And just for our listeners, to be very clear, this show has been in the can. It's been written for years. Like, we have no, like, if there's any sort of similarities, it's completely coincidental. But the thing that sucks is obviously his gets out first and is obviously very, very popular. So it's like, it's a tough one. So how close are some of these? Like, are they
there's
like.
There's a couple things that just remind you.
Gotcha.
There's some concepts that are connected for sure.
Work improv is the closest. Yeah. There's another one that's very close. I can't think of it right now. But yeah, it's interesting. I'm curious what you think of that.
Yeah, I'll get around to watching at some point because obviously it's a great show. But I am. We haven't talked about this at all. We talked about a million. Shane and I just caught up this morning because I haven't been around. But so we talked about a million things. We did not talk about that though. So how does that make you feel then? You got a show on the precipice of coming out in a month. Obviously, Tim Robinson and that show of like it's an inspiration along with things like Kids in the Hall and Saturday Night Live and all these things. But when you're watching it, are you watching it as are you able to enjoy it and laugh, or do you watch it with a competitive mind?
100% enjoy it and laugh.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. No, I love Tim Robinson. He's one of the funniest people ever.
I feel like when it's a peer doing something, then you're more prone to be a little jealous. But if it's a legend doing something amazing.
Tim Robinson's got legend status already.
I think he does.
100%.
Yeah, right? It's pretty remarkable what he's done with 2 seasons.
Yeah. So I don't think you get as jealous if it's a legend. Someone who you look up to.
We do have a chat group and people went in the chat group and said, I just saw season 3 of I Think You Should Leave. I think The Dessert is better.
Yeah.
Of those comments were made.
I like it.
Yeah.
2 people said that. Well, in an 8-person chat group too. That's
what did the other 6 people say?
Some people thumbs up it. I said, I like this theory. I like this theory. It did as good as your tweet. Yeah. With only 8 people in the group. Good ratio.
But what'd you think of season 3?
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
But it actually reminded me of just how difficult sketch is because
it's filler.
There's some stuff that just and didn't land. And they're short episodes too.
Least favorite sketch.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. But actually the stuff that he's not in, to be honest, there's a few ones that he's just simply not in.
Yeah.
And it's just not funny. And it's interesting. Some of them aren't funny.
It's hard
some
when of people are trying to beat him.
This is it. They all are doing Tim impersonations.
Right. Yes.
So one person who did lean into some Timisms, who does this naturally himself, is Will Forte. And Will Forte was in one sketch, and that's a very funny sketch.
I love that sketch.
I texted Will about it. He chatted a little bit.
Wow.
Last time.
He just subtly dropped that into the conversation.
Big what did Will say?
Well, we're just catching up. Thanks so much.
Did you just appreciate you with like a U?
Big heart.
Yeah, with a big heart
eyes.
To Will.
Yeah.
No, what'd you say? What is a text to Will Forte saying, I enjoy your work?
Read
said?
It.
Yeah, we got to hear
I
this.
I said,
let the people know.
I want to
hear
him
what you
bit.
Said, and then you can read his.
Love the I Think You Should Leave skit. What do you have coming up next? Hey, Max, and thank you. I'm so bummed I keep missing you when you're out here.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, actually, he's in Strays, the new movie that's coming out.
The animated one.
Yeah, he's the only real person in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen a trailer. Does it look good?
Yeah, there's a movie called Strays, which comes out in August, and it's so damn funny. I'm the main human in it, but I'm mainly in the beginning and the end, and the bulk of the movie is about a pack of talking dogs, voiced by Will Ferrell and Jamie Foxx and other awesome people.
That's cool.
So there's the synopsis, everybody. Straight from the horse's mouth.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Are you the blue or the gray text in there?
I'd be blue.
Oh, that was a long gray text. Wow. That's very cool. I like looking at just text like power dynamic and predicting who's who.
You didn't see the long bunch of blues.
Oh, you had more blues. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, you missed it.
The string of blues over the last 2 months. Shane, like, you know, but the show's coming out.
I'm excited.
I don't know if we can say the date. I'm not allowed to say it. So manager Ash just explained to us the semantics of the arrangement, and we'll bleep the date that Shane just previously said, mm-hmm. but just so you know, it's coming out this summer and probably soonish, and maybe in the first couple weeks of July.
Maybe.
We're not allowed to say.
But I'm excited. Was that the question? Am I excited?
My question was, you were looking at the length of Will Forte's response to Max. You're like, oh, that's so cool. Mm. Blah, blah. You're going to be, you know, you're going to star the sketch show. You know, if the show blows up and does what we want it to do, you might be texting with big comedy star soon.
I can't imagine that happening, but that would be very cool.
Nathan Fielder, let's get him on your list, man. He'll be in season two.
I'm going to JFL to Hobnob.
Oh, good.
With comedy people.
Yeah, we do need to get some bigger stars for season two.
Yeah, well, bigger. We had no stars in season one.
Yeah.
Bigger than no one. Yeah. Could we get Will Forte?
Probably. Yeah, I'll send it
Let's
to him.
Let's do that.
I like it.
Send him season one,
Dream
too.
Big.
Yeah,
Dream
I will. Big. I will. I'll do that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
But anyway, Mikey, I want to know where you've been. All I know is that you were on a plane. You're somewhere far away. What the fuck were you doing?
Yeah, I was doing my work. I directed three commercials in like 6 or 7 days. It was a whirlwind. I was in. Then I was in. Then I was back to do a thing.
Do you feel cool saying that, by the way? That you're flying around. That you.
you know. Well, listen. Like, obviously, I'm sure there's people listening to this podcast and like. If you travel for your job and you're directing commercials, it's like, obviously that sounds cool. I'm aware, like, if I was like listening to this podcast and I was like 18-year-old Mike, I'd be like, I want that fucking job. Yeah. That life is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it is really fun. And at some point you do kind of like, you know, like when you're on the road all the time, and Shane, you've done a bunch of travel jobs. It's like going out for dinner with the crew and you kind of bond and it's really fun. And you're sort of going around doing these things, but it's also you're prepping every night in the hotel. You're not partying. You're barely sleeping. Cause it's like our leave times are sort of crazy. And anyway,
Can you say what the brand was for or what it was for?
No, I just won't because I don't think I'm allowed to say and all that stuff. LeBron, but it has
Nike ads.
Yes, exactly. Me and Bron. It's all to do with obviously here with Bell Media and all that stuff. But it was fun. And so when I say it, obviously it sounds cool. But when you're doing it practically, it's like it is like a grind and all of that stuff. But we're shooting this. I'll tell this story. This one sketch, not sketch. This sketch is what we do for the dessert coming out this summer. I'm shooting this one commercial and it's taking place like in this sort of remote, nice lake. And I'm standing there on the deck and I've got like my monitor and I've got like my phone and it's kind of on like this charging thing. And I'm holding a script in my other hand. And I sort of like a shift and the phone is like the phone's part of a charger, one of those portable chargers you have.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm holding the block, the charging block, and my phone slips off the top of the block. And I go, because I'm standing on a fucking dock on a lake and there's like holes, right? Or whatever the lines. and the phone like dangles at the end of the cord. And I'm like, but it dangled for just a half second and then popped off right through the one hole in the dock. My phone goes into the fucking drink, as they call it. I'm like, I literally, they're in the middle of a take, these guys. And I scream, I'm like, and everybody turns around and looks at me. I'm like, my phone. And in my brain, I'm like, I got all these photos of my kids. Like, I back up to the cloud, but I don't know the last time it backed up. And I'm like, and I need a phone. I'm still, I got like four more days on the road. Like, what, I got to go. So I'm freaking out. And one of the guys we're shooting, one of the talent guys, he's like, I'll go in. I'm like, you're not going in the water. You're like, you got your makeup, you're all pressed. You can't go in. His 90-year-old dad was there. He's like, I'll go in. I'm like, I'm not making a 90-year-old guy there. We have this production assistant who's from. He's like, I'll go in. He's like in these combat boots and things. And I was like, nope, it's my phone. I'm going in. I was like, I'll do it. So let it be known. The director is going to do this. I'm not making someone else do it. Jump into a freezing cold lake, go under the dock. The phone is like gone into the marsh. So I'm like feeling around. It's like, I'm like, you know, the one big breath, pull it, come out. Everybody cheers. I'm like, yes.
How deep was it?
Oh, it's like, I don't know, like 5 feet or something.
So could you stand on it?
Like once you're in, yeah, you could, but when you're under the dock,
you gotta
open like
your eyes and you gotta see all the shit.
And the mud's flowing. Anyway, so I come out, I got the phone. The phone actually survived. Like it was good. It's like an iPhone 11, but it survived. But then it started getting real weird with me. Like the next morning, it was like no SIM card detected. And then I'd get the SIM, I'd pop, put it back in, I'd get it to work. And then the screen would just be doing weird like ghost shit, like nothing I touch, and all of a sudden like would open Instagram.
You're sexting other people.
Weird double tapping photos on Instagram. I don't want to double tap. Yeah. I'm like, no,
it's the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the phone. Yeah, so it was pretty crazy. But anyway, long story long, got that trip. It was just it was kind of like you're like out of sorts, and then came back to Ontario, and then had a shoot yesterday, which was Monday. But it was almost harder to come back and play with my kids for like all of Sunday afternoon because you're then back into home mode. But then it's like you have to like.
Which mode do you prefer?
if I'm working, like if I'm in that work mode, it was actually good to sort of just be out doing that, because it is harder to reset sometimes and go home, and then you're in dad mode and you're sort of like playing, and then it's like, oh, I got to find time to do some prep.
Just so it's known, I would absolutely let the 18-year-old lackey go in and like, I'm directing a thing. Somebody else figure this out.
I know.
What if you had a rippling six pack though?
Oh, I'm going in.
Yes. But yeah, so lots have been going on. I actually saw some family on the weekend, because actually very sad. I'll give a shout out. So my Uncle Jeff passed away.
Oh, shit. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so my dad's older brother.
Oh, fuck, Uncle Jeff.
Yeah. So it was very sad. So that was, like a couple weeks ago. And he was a lovely, lovely guy. And just like, he was great. And my brother and I, it's funny. He's my dad's older brother. And they had a really sort of, they had a good, funny relationship where they'd love each other, or they'd be arguing at the dinner table at a holiday thing. And then they'd, you know, it was a really funny sort of dynamic. And then he was great when my dad passed away. But he, when we were little, like my brother and I, and we would like go over there and stay with him, he was very intimidating. It's like, oh, Uncle Jeff is like quiet and intimidating. But then as he got older and we got older, he was just like the most, like, one, he was like, loved my kids, like Winona and Roberta. He'd just get such joy out of them. And he was very, he always wanted to talk to me about the Raptors, which was like hilarious. Like, it was like, he got into basketball later in life. And then it was like, I was the guy that was into hoops. So then we'd always talk, and he would just like, he was just a real delight. But yeah, so he passed away, which was very sudden and very sad. And my cousin Sarah is amazing. I'm going to give her a shout out. She's amazing. She was dealing with everything and all that stuff. So anyway, want to give her a shout out. Shout out Uncle Jeff, who was fantastic, and we'll miss him. But I got back into town, and they were having a celebration of life for him at this nice lake. And so I ended up getting, I was supposed to go home. I talked to our production manager, and I was like, yeah, you know that car? Can you I'm going to need to change. I'm not going home. He's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I need to go to this conservation area. He's like, oh, just dying to go for a swim after you get off the plane. And I'm like, actually, I'm like, you know, this thing's happening, celebration of life. So I went right there, saw a bunch of family members. And this is a very long way around of saying, my cousin Tom listens to the pod, and he had a suggestion for you, Max. And and so I'm gonna
you tell him that I'm not open for suggestions. Tell him I'm a professional.
I said I liked his idea.
I'm just kidding.
Pitch it for the podcast.
And we admire and respect any pod listener.
Yes. Oh, and especially cousin Tom.
Tom. Yeah. Shouts to Tom.
Yeah. Tom and his brother Dave, they were like brothers to me and Greg growing up. We were like anything with four things: Ghostbusters, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We were like the four of us all the time.
That's cool.
We spent a lot of weekends at their place because our parents liked party, so they would dump us off at his place. But so cousin Tom suggested this. He said that he thinks that you should write a coffee table book that is all about all of the couches that you have stayed on, and it's photos of people's couches.
Interesting.
He says it would work more if you've stayed on more celebrity couches, but he was listening to the pod where you talk about how you love to just stay at people's places.
Oh, this is actually not a bad idea.
This is what I was saying. I was like, I'll pitch it. Maybe we could break it down, talk about it. But it made me laugh because I was like, oh, Tom, because he was like, I'm thinking Max should do this. And I was like, that's funny.
Is he a Seinfeld fan?
I'm not that I'm aware of.
Because it feels like Kramer's book, coffee table book about coffee tables that turns into a coffee table.
There's a little bit of that, but this is like if say Max has stayed on Will Forte's couch, I kind of want to know what Will Forte's couch looks like too. So there's that. You'd have a story accompanying it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the good. Well, I mean, the Onyx that I lived in for a long time, I didn't sleep on the couch, but I did sleep in for about 4 years in the sunroom, which was really just supposed to be a storage room.
Yeah.
And I slept there. That was overhanging over the street. And like they had these big sun windows that were like super paper thin. And you could hear every car and bus driving by.
Terrible room to wake up in if you have a hangover.
Oh, yeah.
We've both done it.
Stay there. Yeah. Unzi has a guest room, which is just a closet. Seriously. And it's like, the size of the closet is just the size of a single bed. I've stayed in there before. There's no windows or anything. That's kind of interesting. Stayed in my neighbor Jimmy's basement. I've stayed, the fun one is that like, if sometimes I'll have a hotel room, but I'll just want to crash with the guys. So I'll just sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. While the other two, like Birchall and Brent, are like in the bed. Yeah, there's something there, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't
I don't
have
know
to
how
be
many celebrity beds I've been in, though.
Mm.
So that's maybe the missing piece.
But it got me thinking, if you're like a nomadic person, but you're also connected, like say like you stayed in like Kyle Dubas's guest house or whatever those things are. If you got a photo of each place and there was a story accompanying it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just hearing the audible version of that book, I wasn't that captivated, but maybe
I see some more celebrity coaches. Yeah.
That's
tough.
Yeah, that's tough. I need some more celebrity friends.
Shout out to Cousin Tom.
Shout out to Cousin Tom. Good idea, though. I like that idea.
Yeah. He's also very excited about the sketch show.
Oh, nice. Has he seen any?
I haven't. I told him I'd send the links. He was like, because obviously we have the screeners. And he was like, yeah. I was like, you're family.
All right.
But I haven't sent him yet. I should have sent him it. But then, I'll send him after this.
Speaking of Nick Nurse, we had a final jamboree for Nick Nurse in Toronto.
Saw the clips.
Yeah. It was very funny. It was the Sunday, the day before he got hired by the Philadelphia 76ers.
Which, congrats to him. He's hired by the Philadelphia 76ers. They're a contender if they keep James Harden. They got Joel Embiid. But let's backtrack a bit because we've never really unpacked this. These are friends of yours, but they're public figures, right? Mm. Obviously, things don't go. This has been a season in the NBA of high profile coaches losing their gigs, whether it's Doc Rivers, Nick Nurse, obviously Monty Williams, who was coaching KD in Phoenix, a lot of big name coaches basically shuffled the chairs. What was it like from your perspective to watch that go down? Because it was a difficult year. Mm-hmm. We all kind of felt like it was coming. I said that I even felt uncomfortable commenting on it in the friend group because there's friends of Nick in the chat group. Sorry. Uh-huh. So we never really unpacked your feelings. And when you see that go down, you go, fuck.
It's really unusual because it's not like I've had a lifetime of this kind of relationship. It's only been a relationship in the last 3 or 4 years where you're connected to this person who is so much in the public eye and who every night is either being insulted or complimented on their like day at work. Yeah. So it's been interesting in that I've got a pretty good POV of what is going through Nick's head and the reason why he makes certain decisions and his relationship with different people within the organization and different players. So that's been really cool. So I think I admire anybody who's in the arena, as they say. It's just how much thought and hard work goes into their job. And this is what I say about anybody who's like criticizing the Leafs. It's like, you think Dubas is stupid or you think you would have done a better job? If you were to pull 30 people in a room and 30 people have 30 different opinions on what the Leafs should have done last night, I can tell you that Dubas has thought of each one of those 30 ideas way more deeply than any one of you. And the difference is he actually has to make a decision based on 10 other pieces of information and make the call. So like, I really just, I don't know. I admire people who are sort of at like the top of their field and just like, how much work goes into it.
Absolutely.
But what was your question again?
I was just interested to see how you sort of consume the news of something like that, which is like, in theory, one of the worst days of someone's life. They lose a job. Or in this case, it seemed like it was an amicable parting ways and everyone else, people got hired and Nick now is obviously the head coach of the 76ers and arguably a better situation than the Raptors, their contender. So it turned out good. But in the moment when it happens, it's like, oh man, it's like, this is obviously a public piece of news. It's entertainment or whatever on some level, or it's part of the entertainment world. But also it's like, oh, it's like a guy I know.
Yeah, it's twofold. I think I like both of them because they're both sort of, they're very competitive, serious people, But they're self-aware people too, right? And they're the last type of person to throw themselves a pity party. They're like, you know,
why the friendship works. Because they're self-aware and they're exactly.
Totally. And I think, so on one hand, it's like both of them, you know, would be like, oh, we're going to be okay. We have a one in a million job and we get paid handsomely to do it and everything's okay and everything kind of lands where it needs to land. But on the other hand, I was sad because it was just been an amazing few years being like that connected to like the two hottest things in town and just being able to kind of like get an inside scoop.
You mean the teams, although Nick and Kyle are both attractive.
But they're both fucking hot pieces of dudes. So it is sad though, because it kind of feels like it's like coming to the end of an era. But Nick wanted to throw this party basically for his friends and for the coaching staff at his place. And most people throw in a little Sunday afternoon barbecue would just, you know, put the speaker on, you know, grill up some hot dogs and call it a day. But Nick is just like, this kind of speaks to Nick's sort of confidence, I want to say, is that he'd be like, Max, need to have a jam. Let's do it. I'm like, okay, what do you mean? He's like, let's just do it, man. It's going to be great. I'll leave it with you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah. Do you want to bring anybody? He's like, I got some guys coming, but you get the band together. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, guys, and we've done this a few times. So basically I just like put out a text. I'm like, all right, guys, Sunday afternoon, anybody up for going to Mississauga to Nick's place to jam? So my buddy, Johnny Deschman played bass, Ben Whiteley played guitar, Derek Hoffman, Arkell's producer, played guitar, Mike D and his brother-in-law, Patty Hayes, they also played guitar. There was a lot of guitars. Nick kept on making the joke the whole afternoon. He's like, hey, anybody see any extra guitar players? We could use a couple because there's like 19.
That's good.
Yeah. Nick played on his big like 25-foot grand piano. I played a little keys.
How come you brought so many guitar players? Was it just you asked one or two and then you thought maybe one would drop?
Yeah, you didn't know who's going to show up. I thought people might be swapping in and out, but then people just never swapped out.
Because my brother went to this thing and we were talking a lot about it. And
what did he say?
He was just like, it was a pure Max production. It's like he invited everyone he'd ever met in his life that maybe played a guitar. He's like, and they all showed up. And he's like, I saw guys that have never met Nick Nurse before in their life and they were hanging out.
Oh, of course. Well, I thought there'd be some swapping, but no one swapped.
Just once you got into that
once
jam.
You got the thing, you weren't leaving.
It's like pickup basketball. You don't want to leave the court.
Because your brother wanted to play. He was like, yo, let me in for one song on bass. Give me one easy song. I want to play it on bass. I was like, yeah, cool. Like Johnny, who's playing bass, was happy to give you his bass. But then like no one left.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, we played kind of on and off for like 4 hours. It was like a long, but I had to like organize the set list.
I know it's a lot of work.
I had to, he was like, well, how are we going to get a PA in there? And then like Derek was going to have to go to Long McQuaid. And I was like, this is like turning into too much work. I was like, so we hired Eric Martin, the Arkell's tour manager, to like arrange those. So Eric shows up with a big PA and another guy. So now there's like extra staff there. It's like turned into this fucking thing. But Nick, and this again speaks to Nick's just like kind of optimism and just like blind confidence. He just like, we start jamming. He's like, so good, so easy. Fucking let's rock, man. Just like he was just
having a great time.
Just having the best time.
My brother said it was lovely. He said it was awesome.
But the funny thing is, so we're kind of wrapping up. We have to get out of there to go watch Succession. We're like, okay, it's like 8:00. We got to get back for the final Succession. And Nick was like, yo, don't leave yet. I want to give you something before you go. I was like, just give me a minute. And then I'm waiting around. It's like 5 minutes past, 10 minutes past. I'm like, I go upstairs. I'm like, where the hell is he? I text him, hey, Nick, we got to hit the road. He's like, sorry, just on the phone with my agent. Really important. So, and then the next day he's hired by the Philadelphia 76ers. So the idea that like we're in the middle of like a Tom Petty, Neil Young, Rolling Stones medley at like 8 p.m. on a Sunday and Nick's not picking up his phone. Yeah. His agent's like, yo, Daryl Morey's calling. We're trying to get the, and he's just like, can't stop playing is fucking amazing.
That's great.
And very, very of Nick.
What did you think of the press conference in Philly where they asked him, do you want James Harden on the team? He's like, James Harden is a good player. And they're like, answer the question, asshole. Like, I felt bad for Nick. I was wondering how you felt about that.
People commented on Twitter. People were like, the Toronto media, for all of its faults, are like a pretty polite group compared to like the New York or Boston or Philly. Like that Northeastern American media are just like, they don't give a fuck. They've seen everything. There's no respect. So it'll be interesting. It's like, I'm very curious to know what his take is on.
Did you message him about that question in particular?
No, I haven't talked to him about that specific thing.
That's funny. Well, now you got somewhere to stay in Philly.
That's right. Maybe his couch.
Yeah. Well, we should do a road trip because our good friend Sean Dawson, real estate agent in Hamilton, is a huge Philadelphia 76ers fan. And him and I have gone down to Philly to watch games. We went down there with our family. So we've done the trip to Philly to watch. Have you guys been to a game like in Philly?
No, actually, never.
It's a fun arena. But you got M. Night Shyamalan sitting courtside. You can get dirt cheap tickets for Raptors game if you're going to go down to see the Raptors. Mm. Anyway, we need to do like a road trip down to watch Philly. Raps or Philly and anybody, really.
Yeah.
But it's a good time. So Sean was very happy as a Philly fan to get Nick Nurse because he wasn't a big Doc Rivers guy.
Yeah, he's been tortured by that.
And he's been like sort of enviously watching us with Nick these last 5 years. Yeah. And so he's very happy. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
And we just want Nick to be happy.
Yeah, we do. We do. Speaking of coaching and uncles, though.
Yeah.
I am coaching my nephew's rookie ball team or assistant coaching.
What's rookie ball?
Rookie ball is basically baseball but with a pitching machine. So it's for like 7 and 8 year olds. So like they can actually hit the ball. Cause if there's a 7 year old throwing pitches, it's probably not going to throw a lot of strikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've been thinking about what Kai thinks of me. My sister listens to the pod. So maybe she can get a good answer for me, but because like I worry sometimes I'm turning into the psycho coach, especially with Kai.
Do you raise your voice?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm. What do you say?
Kai, lock in Kai. Wow.
How old's Kai?
7.
Oh, yeah, that's too early for that kind of coaching.
I know, I want it, but he's a little head in the clouds sometimes.
I like that, though. I like lock in. I think that's a good thing to yell. You lock him in at seven? Not lock him in. Lock in.
Lock him up.
If you don't hit this, we're locking you in.
Well, it's a good question, but when is it supposed to, like you're saying he's a little bit head in the clouds. Like, it's got to be fun. It's like, I just don't know when the line is. Is it like,
my attitude is it's more fun is if he's more engaged in the game.
Right.
He just hasn't learned quite yet to how to be engaged or because the rules of baseball are very weird too. Like everything about baseball is very abstract.
Yeah.
So I do. And then it makes me think about if I'm ever a father and what kind of tyrant I might become. Cause I do worry about that. A little bit. That's why I don't think I can become a father because I think I might become a mean dad. My dad's a very chill dad.
Yeah.
I think I'm more intense than him.
When I played baseball as a kid, I was the one always building like the little sand things and because I was never locking in.
That's what I'm saying.
So I like the lock in approach. Yeah. I think that's great.
You needed an Uncle Max to yell lock in.
Yeah.
You're someone that needs to be held accountable.
I like that. Yeah. I like people like yelling at me and telling me what to do. And I found my parents were so apathetic with sports. It really made me not as good of an athlete as I could have been.
Mm.
That's interesting. Winona, it's funny. Just played T-ball, our first T-ball game. It was interesting watching her out there.
Is she locked in?
She's 4 years old. She was locked in. It's crazy. I didn't have to yell anything at her, but it's kind of, so T-ball is nuts. Cause it's like they have a kid hit the ball and you got like, I don't know, like say there's like 15 kids on her team or something. This conglomerate of 15 little 4 and 5 year olds kind of like around the base path.
Pretty cute.
It is. And then you got the T and then the other team's kid like hits the ball and then you got to run and get the ball and then you hold it up in the air and then they got to stop at the base, whatever. This is how T-ball works. But when the ball gets hit, you literally just have 15 like rabid, ravenous kids running and they all want the ball. And like the more competitive ones are really like getting in the dirt and like trying to like elbow ones away. And I didn't know what Winona would be like in this scenario. Cause I was like, I'm like, oh, if she like misses it, like if the first four, she doesn't get her hand on like one on the ball, I could see her being like getting discouraged or something.
Yeah.
So me and Danica are watching from afar and Roberta's kind of toddling around and shit. But I'm keeping an eye and I'm like, oh man, I'm like, it was so compelling to watch. And it was like, every time the ball got, she would go. And then like after like the fifth or sixth time where she didn't get the ball, she like looked back and we're like, keep going. Like you got it. You just positive reinforcement. And then on like the eighth one, she like fucking like darted toward the ball, kind of shouldered a kid out, got it. Mm. And then instead of like, she just turned back to me and Danica. We were like putting the hand up, like hold the ball up. And she like held the ball up triumphantly. And it was just like, I was just glad she got rewarded for her like, her determination, because she could have easily like whatever the other 15 times that ball goes out, she could have not got one. So I was just happy she managed to get one. And then when it was her turn to hit, she did really good off the tee.
Oh, wow. Congrats, Winona.
I was very proud. It was a very like, nice moment. And Dan was up there like filming stuff. And it's like, these are some of the joys of young parenthood.
Does this coaching job give you baby fever at all? Or
No, not at all. No.
Did that story about Winona's triumph give you baby fever?
Nope.
No.
Have you ever had baby fever?
I don't think so.
No?
No. But I have been thinking about like how because there's one other kid on the team who's like incredibly self-assured and sort of bragging a little bit too much. And I kind of wanted to ream him out too. I'm like, really? That's not the way you talk. Yeah. Come on. Like that's not going to be a good teammate.
So oh, self-assured in a cocky way.
Yeah.
Not in that Max Kerman way. Because I thought you'd appreciate the self-assuredness.
No. He's
a jerk. He's bordering on jerk.
Sort of getting there. So but then I was like, is it my responsibility to reprimand this kid? Do I have to give him a lesson? I don't know. It's all confusing to me. Just like, and also it's just like, and then the other thing which I deeply hate about myself is keeping eyes on Kai the entire time. Because I'm like, I'm paying too much attention to Kai, and I'm supposed to be coaching everybody, but I want Kai to do well. And then you
coach's
start
coach's kid syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Coach's kid syndrome. And then it's just kind of being a parent altogether because you just care about your fucking kid. You're watching your kid. And I don't like that part of me.
Yep.
Ugh.
It's a difficult thing to, at least you're out there. You're doing it.
Yeah.
Honestly, like 90% of the job is showing up. You're there. You're doing something with Kai. You're being a good uncle.
Yeah, it's true.
That's a win.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up.
Good times. We didn't even talk about the Succession finale. R.I.P. Yeah. Succession.
R.I.P.
Let's do a quick, quick thought. We'll throw in the microwave and then that will be it. So,
Shane, you start.
I fell asleep through that. I woke up at the end and I just want to see who wins. And Alex
wins
won.
Succession.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was all about, right? Who wins?
It's in the title.
And then what's his name won? Tom?
Tom Wamsgams.
Yeah. And I said Shiv was going to win. Mm. But in a way, Shiv kind of won, I think. And
you know how I knew Shane had bet on Shiv? Because I got a text from him going, but in a roundabout way, do you think Shiv won? Yeah. He wanted me to support his case that he was clearly making to Alex.
Alex and I got into a debate because Alex won. Alex predicted Tom was going to win for a while. So she was right. But yeah, it was a cool show though. I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, I think it ends up as an all-timer in the pantheon of shows. I thought it was a perfect ending. I thought they sort of concluded it perfectly. I thought it was perfectly appropriate for what the show had been for 4 years. My overall quick takeaway of what the show and what it made me think, though, is it sort of proved to me again, or at least reinforced, how much people are willing to sort of forgive and like people if they're charismatic and you get a little bit of a backstory. The fact that we were like picking our favorite fucking Roy, or like I like Kendall, I like Roman, I like Shiv or whatever, when these people are reprehensible, like Kendall killed somebody. These people have no remorse. They do not care. They're kind of the worst of the worst. They're having a laugh about laying off people and ruining lives, playing a game at the highest level. It's like, these people fucking suck. But
it is a comedy show, though.
But I just mean it is. But I'm like, the idea that it's like we pick our favorite person like they're a Pokemon, but it's like everything about their character is awful.
No, but not everything about their character is awful. Oh, that's what makes the show compelling. Works. Is that you, when you get to know them a little more, you're like, oh, well, dad hit Roman, and Roman's actually a little more self-aware, even though he can be an asshole for sure, but then he can also have his nice moments. The complexity
is Roman. He still needs to grow and be a good human and not randomly fire people. Like, I think the thing is, it's like what it proved is us as an audience and larger society is we're a group of rubes. Meaning if you are like kind of charismatic and you give us a bit of a sob story, we'll be like, they're not so bad. And that's how people keep ripping people off with Ponzi schemes and all that shit.
Well, speaking of rubes, I don't even know how I feel about it, because I really like the season, and I've been consuming all the podcasts that are affiliated with Succession, and where like they're interviewing the director of the last episode and the actors, and people are talking about it. And everyone's been pretty complimentary about it. But then as soon as the credits started to roll when we were watching it, Book Club Maddie goes, I think that might have been the worst episode of Succession I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, of course. And he's a contrarian.
Yeah,
though.
But then I was like, is it the worst episode? And then I don't know. So I don't know. The jury's out for me.
Did you guys always know what was going on at all times? I found it very hard to keep
there's
track
also some business speak that I didn't know. It's also the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. We're like, are they still talking about the same thing? Like, because it's always just been the same thing.
But mergers and takeovers.
It did a very good job at, though, even when I didn't know what was going on, I knew what was going on. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what was really good about that show I found.
And the writing was so funny too.
It's
and the insults.
Masterfully acted. It's masterfully written. It's masterfully directed. It's an all-time show. And I thought the finale was great. He thought it was the worst episode of Succession.
Yeah, that's what he said. Guys, but
he has to say that. That's like So Frookman. That's a Frookman, right?
This is the name of the episode, So Frookman.
Yeah. It's So Frookman.
That's So Frookman.
Wouldn't you find it weird if he said that was the best episode?
Yeah, that would be weird. But I'm going to say it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like Succession so much and the snappiness of the writing and it being very funny, I'm going to create my own TV show.
Second week in a row where you mentioned
it. And you guys are going to write on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
The hard part is getting something made.
Yeah, I can get it made. I just can't write it. So you guys have to write it.
Oh, okay.
You have the good reverse problem.
Yeah, it's easy.
I have an idea and I have a concept, but I can't do it. And I don't want to wake up at like 6 in the morning in Prince George and have to go to the thing and then jump in the dock. I'm not doing that shit either. I'm going to be the producer.
Yes.
You know?
You're not the guy that goes in the dock.
No, I'm not jumping in the lake.
You can choose who goes in the dock.
Yeah, like other people are on set. I'll show up occasionally.
Yeah.
I'll help with some of the writing, the craft. I'll help with the music.
Oh, yeah.
I'll help get it sold.
Let's do that.
But you guys got to write and direct it.
Okay.
So it's a Succession-esque show?
It's not. It'll be funnier than Succession.
Gotcha.
It won't be as dark as...
Okay. So it would be like 70% comedy, 30% drama.
It'd be more like 90% comedy.
90 comedy.
Yeah, or maybe 100%
comedy. That's too funny.
No, but it would be...
More like Curb.
Curb. Okay.
Yeah. More like Curb.
So 75% comedy, I feel like Curb is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm just saying it right now because it'll happen then.
I like it. Are you going to share the concept here for the listeners?
Well, off mic.
Okay.
I've already told you the concept.
I like it. All right. That's a good tease. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Best Hang Podcast. Thank you to Nathan Nash for the he does. Thank you to Major Nash for the thing she does. And yeah, this is a great hang, guys. Maybe the best.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.